Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
You are listening to Resolution Radio on ResolutionRDO.com.
They are coming. Coming for us all. Unstoppable force of men forged into iron with the fires and machinery of war. Driven before them are those who betray everything beyond their greed, hate, and anger. Do you betray everything and decide to flee your hide? Or will you take your best and stand for the fight? Fight for your life, for what is dearest to you, for honor and death. Let your name be worthy of you. But remember, the war consumes us all.
Land that gave us birth and blessing, land that called us ever homewards. We will go home across the mountains. We will go home, we will go home, we will go home across the mountains.
Shall I explain to you in one easy lesson how the world works?
Use small words. I'm not as bright as you.
The house that puts family first will always defeat the house that puts the whims and wishes of its sons and daughters first.
Draupnir.
A good man does everything in his power to better his family's position.
Geiri, Freyki.
Regardless of his own selfish desires.
Sleipnir.
Right there on his hammer, it says, word right hold. That is the answer to every bit of this. This is how you do this. You do this through racial holy war. That is the only thing that will ever, ever bring about any kind of hope or solace for our people. Racial holy war. Most important things that that I can possibly imagine that anybody could ever say to anybody. First and foremost, we must secure the existence of our people and the future for white children.
And
if somebody wants to ask you why that is important, it is important because just like Dr. Lewis said earlier, we paraphrase because the beauty of the white Aryan woman must not perish from the earth. That is the answer to all of it, period. I think one of the most important things we could ever do, and I'm not trying to turn this into any kind of juvenile thing, if you do not know the 14 words, use your motherfucking fingers and learn them tonight. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. If you cannot say that, brothers and sisters, I don't know how much you love your race. Secondly, the most important thing that I think I could possibly share to my people. Hell, Odin.
They want you eliminated. Don't give them the pleasure. So there it is, boys and girls. The hard to swallow pill that too many of our people have been putting off taking for far too long. They don't want to accept that this is a war to the knife, or that they are the ones who will be stuck like a pig and left to die by their diverse friends. And don't make the mistake of thinking that if you abide by the law and obey the powers that be, that you can win this fight. We have already reached a point where the law is failing us. And if you don't believe me, just ask some of our LS members who are currently sitting in Virginia jails because they had the audacity to defend themselves against physical attacks by mobs of Negroes at Charlottesville. When the law falls into the hands of evil men and is perverted from its true purpose, then free men are morally bound to resist and overthrow such tyranny, and with violence if necessary. There's a well-known ancient Latin phrase, si vis pacem, para bello. If you want peace, prepare for war. But the time has come to get plumb mad dog meat. And if you lose your head and give up, then you neither live nor win. And that's just how it is. I say to you, in imitation of that great Confederate general, Nathan Bedford Forrest, war to the knife and the knife to the hilt!
But a kingdom that has once been destroyed can never come again into being, nor can the dead ever be brought back to life.
Okay, welcome back to the Resolution Radio Network at ResolutionRDO.com. You are listening to the St. Thomas Show, and I am your host, Sonny Thomas. If you want to call in or listen now, it's area code 607-203-5423. That's area code 607-203-5423. You can always follow us on various social media. SonnyThomas.com goes to our fascist book page at fascistbook.com/St. Thomas, and yes, I said that right, because Facebook is fascist. And also on that stroke, I actually had the most weird thing that ever happened to me since a whole year time I've been on Facebook. I got a notification that apparently one of my posts that was flagged to be taken down said that they made a mistake, that they reinstated the post, but then you can't tell what the post is because it won't show you what the hell the post is. But I screenshotted that on my phone. I was like, wow. For the first time, at least as far as it concerns me, Facebook actually made a mistake and admitted it. Wow. Maybe a bunch of people are getting sick with COVID-19 there, and all these dumbasses are starting to have a little bit of a mortality issue. Maybe they're starting to have a moral issue. That's funny as shit. But anyways, that's why I mentioned that as an interesting joke. On other social media, you can follow us on Gab, at St. Thomas Show. And you can follow me directly at Real St. Thomas and, of course, Resolution RDO, also on Gab. So next, I have a very wonderful guest who I haven't had on here since June of 2019. Long overdue and very much appreciated, always hearing her two cents of what's not only on her mind, but also showcasing exactly some of the chicanery that's going on there in South Africa and what's happening to our brothers and sisters of the Afrikaners. So Lee Oxley-Dupree is back on the program to tell us some updates, what's going on, and also to we want to encourage everyone to help our brothers and sisters there to help support her organization there in South Africa. And we need to make sure that we have an opportunity to help them give some of the basic stuff, especially in this interesting time because of the fact that the COVID-19 crap, whether it's real or fake, false flag, whatever, is definitely drawing heavily on her precious resources. We encourage you to go to her website, the South African Family Relief Project at safrpsa.org. So that's www.safrpsa.org. And so you can go and donate there, especially right now. Another friend of mine just checked with me earlier. The conversion rate is 1760 rand to the dollar. So just sending $20 or $50 would be a huge, huge benefit for her organization and help her get some very valuable resources that she needs to continue her very noble project for our brothers and sisters there in South Africa. So Lee, welcome back to the St. Thomas Show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I have to say, like I said, the interview we had last June was one of the best I've ever done. I think we covered a lot of ground with your situation. Also, just giving my listeners an opportunity to find out who you are and that how much of a wonderful human being you are and that you're truly doing good work for all of our people. Because of the fact that, especially those of us of European descent, no matter where we are in the world, we have to look after each other now more than ever because there is a concerted effort to wipe us out, to first of all turn us against our own and eventually mix this all up and then ultimately to wipe us out. And that's because we're smart enough to figure out what the hell's going on and also smart enough that when given the opportunity, we will prosper no matter what the circumstances are. I mean, look at your situation. They throw you, not you particularly, but they throw a lot of our people there in South Africa on basically heaps of land that no person would probably normally want to develop anyway. But given that's all you have, you've turned quite an advantage. I mean, you've created wells, you've built little shanties, and you've started to slowly improve those with time, given the resources and monies that are available, and you've actually made a livable situation out of nothing. I mean, the average trailer park here in Middle America would be considered, and we're talking like real low-rent trailer parks, those would be considered high class compared to what some of the circumstances you guys are faced with there in the shanty towns. But again, you guys are still holding your head up high. You're still trying to have smiles on your faces. And you have a positive attitude. And that is the difference between them and the trailer parks here, is the fact that you guys actually have a positive outlook. Considering your outlook can be bleak, you have a glass half full mentality when most people here have a glass half empty mentality. And I think that's the key difference between poverty there in South Africa compared to quote-unquote poverty here in the United States. What are your thoughts on that, Lee?
Well, that's exactly what you say. We cannot afford to go just sit down in the dumps and wallow in our sorrow. We've got to live, you know. We've got families to think of, and we can't just give up. We're working, hard-working people, so we do not have that option. If we sit down and wallow, we will die. You know, and with this COVID-19 outbreak across the world, and now it's hit South Africa, it's made things considerably worse. You know, our president is handing out 40,000 bars of soap in the black areas, but nowhere will you ever see one coming into the white camps and giving out bars of soap. We are left to fend for ourselves. There are no masks and no gloves and anything available. So So we teach what we can with regards to sanitizing your family and your hands, and try and keep safe and do not move in areas where it's crowded. But just the other day, I went to the local supermarket, quickly ran in there to get some bread supplies. And these black folks were, and I had my mask on. You know, my daughter's pregnant, and I've got pregnant moms and babies in our camp, so I cannot afford to spread any germs to these people,
mm-hmm.
if I do get it. And they were chanting outside of the local shops, shouting, "Give me Corona, give me Corona." And I thought to myself, the ignorance and the stupidity of these people. They actually are wanting it. They want this virus, whether it is as bad as they say. Who can say for sure?
No.
But they want it, and they want to spread it. Definitely, they are out to spread it.
Now, what's the purpose of that? They want to spread just because of the fact that it's, again, a lot of the blacks here have this materialistic mentality. That's why they're so easily merchandisable. For example, if a new sports team comes online, I noticed even back when I was in high school, they have to go out and buy all their shit. It's like, it's the new team, yet they've never won any game, haven't even played a game. The fact that there's some new sports team and they've got new swag to go out and spend money on they don't have, it's just the fact they have to look like they're cool and hip and they're trendy. And it's amazing,
yeah,
the general mentality that blacks have. And I'm not saying all blacks. I mean, again, there's a difference between blacks. There's a difference between blacks and niggers. But most black folks don't do shit like that. They're actually good family folks. But niggers, on the other hand, they got to go out and buy every single Air Jordan that costs $100. I mean, they would rather go and starve than not have the latest tennis shoe by their favorite sports star. So that just goes to show me how easily marketable they could be and manipulated to do certain things, and hence why they vote Democrat all the time, because they think they're going to get a freebie. Now, that being said, you look at their cousins over there on the African continent. I've worked with a lot of folks that have come from Zimbabwe, from Niger, and things like that, and I'll tell you what, these are good, hardworking people. They look down on American blacks. I have one guy who's, you know, he was from, I think, Nigeria, maybe Zimbabwe, I'm not sure, at this warehouse. And this guy would run laps around American blacks. I mean, he just really looked down on me. And they're like, "Hey, man, you from another country, man. You should hang with us, homie. Yo, all this shit." And they're like, "You're fucking lazy. You don't do any work. You just sit on your ass all day. Expect someone to do it for you.
Yeah.
You're fucking lazy."
Yeah.
And this guy would run laps around these American blacks. I mean, seriously, it's like the best that these guys could do wasn't even a tenth of what this guy did. I mean, I have to give the guy props, you know. Even if he had his own agenda and he thinks that, you know, whites should be subservient to him, whatever the case may be, at least he had a dog in the fight, because the fact that this guy got off his ass and did a full, you know, 10, 12-hour shift nonstop. I mean, I made me wonder if he was on speed or something, because the fact that he was a real tough SOB as far as a worker. I mean, again, he really put these American blacks to shame. And if anything,
yeah,
you would think the American blacks look at this guy and say, "Hey, this guy should be a role model. He's from the mother country, and he's busting his ass.
Join him and look."
Yeah, you should be an inspiration, not a detriment. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, some of the shit that's going on down there, I mean, some of your resources are already scarce to begin with, and I know that you mentioned before on how they come up with all these ingenious, and I want to say ingenious because of the fact that that's actually a misnomer, they come up with these clever ways to try to shaft you out of your resources, your time, and even your monies to try to work on your project. You know, now that this supply is going to be even more in question, have you seen any more, shall we say, clever banking practices on how they're trying to screw you out of getting your resources because they think that you should get less than they have?
Well, we have to deal with that every single day. You know, they closed up our PayPal account. I had to try and open up a new one, which was a huge battle. And all we get from PayPal is, sorry, our our organization wish not to associate ourselves with an organization such as yours. And that is the only communication that I keep on getting from them. Yet our books are up to date, our taxes, our books have gone in for review at SARS. And I mean, we are clean and clear 100%, and yet the government still tries to try and regulate the little bit of income that we do get. And, you know, we all know that a certain percentage gets taken from PayPal and then from PayPal into the bank account. So the South African bank system also takes their fair share. And mm-hmm. at the end of the day, we get X amount, you know, which we have to make do with. And if it means one bag less of bread flour, that is what it means, you know. And you know, we've learned how to adapt and cope. You know, I've even gone into, because maize meal is a lot cheaper than flour. So we were looking in how to do maize meal bread, you know, or corn bread, or that I think you call that in America, corn bread.
Uh-huh.
So looking for new ways of feeding these people. I mean, we know what it means to live on beans, red beans.
Mm-hmm.
We've been having that for the last 2 weeks. Red beans and maize meal, or red bean soup, or red beans and fit cook. It's like a fried dough that we do. So yeah, savory red beans on rice. So it's been, the last 3 weeks has been absolutely dismal when it comes to food supplies. Because now, especially when you look at the camp situation, people are fearing, and so nobody is coming to deliver any food or clothing or shoes. Winter is upon us, and we are already sitting with a huge shortage, and I honestly don't know what we're going to do. You know, we do plant. We've got spinach and tomatoes and green peppers and, you know, stuff that we can feed, and we do have our cows and our chickens and that, but, you know, food goes down in winter time, so when it comes to growing your own food. And yeah, it's looking very, very bleak from our side. We're currently waiting on the president of the South African government to make a State of the Nation address. Just now he's already late again, yet again, as usual. We are fearing a complete lockdown. They've already locked down small businesses. Some parts we cannot travel. I currently live, or our camp, and the majority of the camps are in the Gauteng area where we live. And the major outbreak is in Gauteng, with 125-130 cases out of the 240. So yes, we live in a scary area, and now together with this COVID-19 outbreak, it's just going to make things worse for us, because now everybody's in panic mode and fearing for their lives, and they are going to look after their own families and make sure that their own families are sorted and cared for and have enough food and etc. And we are going to be forgotten.
Yeah, that's the question I've had too here, is this, there's been some stuff going on here, and just a lot of our governments between the state and the federal are almost in unison on some of this stuff. On the surface, it looks like they're doing their best to try to get a grip on this thing, which, again, I've always learned that when the government's focused on something else, always look the other way, because a lot of times it's a distraction for something else. Now, there is one conspiracy theory that's floating around that and is connected to a lot of celebrities as well. And also, this is also a good thing, too, is the fact that there's one conspiracy theory that one of the things Trump said as candidate Trump, he said he was going to bust up the pedophile rings. And because of the fact that a lot of higher-ups, including CEOs of businesses, sports organizations, Hollywood and other, even government officials are all ensnared in some sort of sex ring. Matter of fact, there was a thing not too long ago where some group was busted in Little Rock, and turns out that they had connections to the Clinton Foundation. Of course, that went by the wayside. We've also seen something else interesting was that some of the, that there's supposed to be 155,000 indictments that are going to go out to go after these ringleaders and associated individuals with these pedophile sex rings, and that the fact that some of these are connected to people you would not expect were ever involved. For example, there's rumors to believe that obviously, well, I was definitely doubt the fact that Jeffrey Epstein hung himself. Most likely, let's just think outside the box here. His death was faked. He was whisked off to Israel, but before he did, he dropped the bomb on who all he was connected to. Harvey Weinstein got 23 years. He was actually supposed to get 55 years, but he made a plea deal that if he dropped the bomb on people he's connected with, which corroborated the Epstein list, that he got a reduced sentence by half. So that being said, let's just say that's the case. That also being said, it looks like many people of celebrities that are all of a sudden being quarantined or come down with the virus are actually the ones that are used as a cover story because they have been indicted. So you've heard about Tom Hanks and his wife being detained in Australia, and apparently I had seen before this outbreak started here in the States, there was a story saying that there was a connection between Hanks and Epstein. Maybe not directly, but even indirectly should definitely pose a serious problem. Even Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, is actually being indicted on corporate fraud tax issues here in the United States, and that his wife conveniently has the COVID-19 virus, and that, again, that could be a cover story for the fact that they're going after this guy. Now, that being said, how can you just go into a foreign country, even as an ally of ours, and whisk away an elected leader because you have indictment charges on him while he's in office? I mean, that would be considered an act of war. So I don't know how in the hell they could get away with that shit. But let's just say, they also did a raid on one of Oprah Winfrey's properties, apparently, and supposedly for accusations of child sex rings or whatever. And again, we're starting to see people starting to connect the dots here. So let's just say for a moment that this whole COVID-19 thing is a cover-up because of the fact they want to catch all these perps and get them all at once. And it's a lot easier to catch them when less people are out in the streets and doing their things. If that's the case, that would be wonderful because a lot of the globalists are in part of these things, and a lot of people that we have elected, they don't vote the way we want them to because of the fact that they're being blackmailed one way or another. It could be pictures of them with a mistress, or they have known ties to pedophile sex rings. So let's just say that might be the case. This would be a totally unprecedented thing, and if it is, it's also beta test for something else. I think they're trying to hedge off a currency collapse because this happened in China. Trump was winning the trade war. He got them to come to the table, and there's a lot more acute problems that China has that we don't know about or we don't see easily. So they could unleash this damn thing. Maybe they're getting ready to dump all the U.S. bonds of our debt that we have, which means that could have a major currency collapse overnight. And the best way to control something like that is to have everybody in their homes when the shit hits the fan. So that also could be, since the U.S. dollar is the world reserve currency, if something is getting a shake up overnight, then that could affect the entire West. And that isn't just North America and Europa. That includes South Africa. So that being said, if that were to happen, the probably safest place for all people to be would be indoors, because by the time it happens, you won't know. When I interviewed James Traficant 6 months before he died back in 2014, one of the things he told me, he said specifically, he says, remember one day in 1991 we turned on the TV and all of a sudden the Soviet Union was gone? It was a federation of, of Russian states. Yeah. And it's like, it could happen to us overnight. We turn on the TV, boom, the United States is gone, or something else. Or our form of government no longer exists. It's been considered rendered moot, and something else goes on. If that happens, the entire West could collapse overnight because of the fact that so many countries are dependent on us, especially after World War II. That's another reason why Trump was trying to get these countries in NATO to pay their damn debts, because of the fact that we can't keep doing it anymore. So that being said, you look at South Africa, you guys had the number three air force in the world at one time. Now you have no air force at all. You have a huge deposits of natural minerals that obviously China needs to do those electronics with, and they're paying your corrupted officials probably pennies on the rand of what the value of what those minerals are worth. And then you look at Mugabe. Look how long he kept inflating his currency to keep his police and his army on his side so he wouldn't get overthrown. So, I mean, why would that not happen in South Africa?
Yeah, and the healthcare system in South Africa has already been on its knees for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a documentary or something about America and the COVID virus. And I've looked at several, you know, trying to keep an open mind on how severe the spread is, and how is America and the UK and Italy and everybody coping. I mean, you guys have a first world country. We have a third world country.
Mm-hmm.
And our government is stating, oh, no, we have everything under control. Don't worry, don't worry. But we are worried because America... it already has a backlog of machines, you know, the lung machines to keep the people alive.
Yes.
For those who do get into trouble, you know, and fall ill. So South Africa can't even, they don't have the infrastructure. They don't have the capacity for this outbreak. I can tell you now, if America is struggling and suffering, where are we going to stand? We have no hope at all. No
mm-hmm.
hope. The best we can do is, as you said, keep yourself to yourself in your home, try and do the best you can. And you know, we've had Eskom with load shedding. In the beginning was load shedding, where they put off all the electricity in certain areas, except for the black areas. We've had cell phone connections. They are now gone so far where they actually switch off cell phone towers. Now, we live off the grid completely. We do not even have an electricity connection.
Mm.
So we have only solar power and battery. When we hear the people around us, the farms and the small holding generators go on, we know then it's load shedding. But then we now, they switch off all communication. And that is worrying to us. And they're making people used to not having no communication. I can tell you, no Facebook, no WhatsApp, no nothing. You can't go onto the internet. You cannot phone somebody. You cannot message, text, nothing. It is complete silence, technologically speaking. So that is very, very worrying to us because, like you said, in America, you wake up the next morning and boom, America is gone. China is huge in South Africa, massive. Mozambique, in the whole of the African continent. So, yeah, for us, it's very, very scary. Because we know that China has a huge influence in the South African economy,
mm-hmm.
and with all our presidents and ministers, bribery and corruption is huge in South Africa. So we know that for the most part they are usually lying to us, and when they say that the figure is this much, let's just look at the farm murders. It's continuing. I think last week or the week before, in the last 2 weeks, we've had eight farm murders. It's escalating. Still, to this day, we are still fighting for our safety and farm murders. And now with this virus thing, it has intensified our fear. They are now wanting to still burn down universities. Last week, they attacked a university in Limpopo and set it alight. and because they want free education, and they want to be laid off work with full pay because of the virus, and looting has started. They are looting shops, small shops in the outskirts of the towns. So it's just a matter of time. Our country has just gone into a recession just before the virus outbreak. So, yeah, the outlook that we have on our side is dismal. And I don't know where it's going to end. The only thing that we can do is try and cope and survive as best we can. But it is fearful, because we don't only have the COVID-19 that is affecting us. We've got the economy, the farm murders, the recession that we've just gone in. So it sounds and feels hopeless to us at the moment.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine lives there in South Africa. She was telling me just even a couple months ago, the exchange rate was 15 rand to the dollar. And then she checked again just about a week or so ago, and it was already 16. And she checked again this morning, it's 1760 rand to the dollar. So, I mean, your currency is starting to tank very quickly.
Yeah. And, yes, it's good for an organization to get foreign currency. But what people don't understand is they are taxing us high because we are not BEE compliant.
Mm-hmm.
And I refuse to, because I am looking after my own people. The government is refusing to do so, and I am very passionate about it. Yesterday and today, we've got two sick babies, and I had to sell stuff to get them to the doctor because the clinics are closed now in our area. They are not assisting anybody. Steve Biko, who is the hospital in Pretoria, who is supposed to handle all COVID-19 cases, it's so overrun, you can't even get close to the parking area in the streets. It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people rushing to go and get tested. So we don't go near there. I've said to all my families, if you need help, phone me or text me, or I will make a plan and go outside. My husband and I and my foreman and our matron, we go out with our vehicles and go pick up the children and take them to the doctor. I try and get money together. I owe the doctor quite an amount of money. But at least that is a lot safer than sending them into the slaughterhouse, because literally that is what it is. Going into those hospitals and trying to get assistance for a child, you wait days. It's not about hours. The other day, one of our other ladies was in labor, and she was there 3 days. There were no beds to admit her, and we had to try and assist her as best we could. They said that she was in active labor, but she took quite a long time to deliver. So she couldn't leave the hospital, but there was no bed. So we sat with her in the hall. We got somebody to bring us some pillows because she had to sit on the floor so that she could sit on the floor at least on a pillow.
Wow.
And that was night in, day out. Night in, day out. No food. There's no food. You have to make sure that your family brings you food every day if you're in hospital. You have to bring your own pillow, your own mattress, your own blanket. There's no food. So if you land up in hospital, you are pretty much screwed.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Just medication. So it's terrible, really terrible. You think of, you go to an African country like Zimbabwe where you know, the country has fallen apart completely. Yes, you have South Africa with the infrastructure, beautiful hospitals, that is able to be equipped with the best staff, which we were, the best doctors, nurses, medications, and it's done. There's no toilet paper the hospital. There's no sanitizer. There's no facilities to bathe because most of the hospitals are running out of water, and they own the and electricity, obviously, and they owe the municipalities millions and millions.
Wow, that's amazing.
So I'm saying South Africa is not ready for this COVID at all, and I don't care what the government and the president say. They are not ready.
Wow. I mean, not that, but it's just amazing to me, too, is the fact that, you know, these guys even remember what a Hippocratic Oath is. They do everything they can to disregard it, and the worst part of it is you may have some black nurses and doctors there who really genuinely want to help because that's why they got into practice, but now their hands are tied because they don't have the resources, or they're told by administrators that you ought to give priorities to blacks over whites.
Yeah, not only that, they're not getting paid. Some of these nurses and doctors, my daughter is a doctor. My daughter-in-law, she's a physio-neurologist. And they're not getting paid. But they have to be at work. They have to continue with their services. They have to be there.
Wow.
And they say that they rather go to work and get a quarter check pay than going and losing their, not going and losing their job and not finding a job ever again in their field.
Oh, can you be blacklisted? You'd be blacklisted for not staying employed?
Exactly. No,
wow.
No, no, but if she doesn't go to work because they don't pay her, she's not going to find another job. She's white. And so jobs are so, so scarce. And because she's a doctor, finding a doctor's position in South Africa is very, very difficult. And so she is clinging to the position that she has. And obviously she's working in those horrid conditions where she has to, you know, make sure that she doesn't get the virus. So she has to doubly protect herself. And she says it's a nightmare. We were actually having a conversation last night. She says, Mom, it's a nightmare. They cannot get to all the patients that they need to. Not in a week, not in 2 weeks, not in 2 months.
Wow. And not that, but the worst part of it is it's becoming more and more difficult for people even of her skill set, you know, to want to be able to leave South Africa to come to another Western nation, especially America. It's like, I don't understand this. Trump's, one of his things is trying to have a merit-based immigration system. Well, okay, we have someone who obviously her is a skilled medical doctor who probably most of her credentials would be at least recognized over here, or worst case scenario, she just have to update a few things. And she could come over here, but the problem is, it's like we're finding out that another individual I talked to last year, who just finished his citizenship cycle, said, I'll tell you firsthand, man, he's like, most of the immigration offices here in the United States are all run by minorities. And if you're a white person trying to get in, they will put you in the back of the line, or they will do everything they can to throw obstacles in your way to hinder you from being able to finish your process. Where if you're a criminal minority with an infectious disease, they let you walk right in like it's nothing. I was like, I can't believe this shit. But I see how the county level is when white people are trying to go and get certain benefits that we pay taxes for being turned down because they're an attractive white female with a child. Now, if she's got a mixed child, oh, it's a totally different story. They throw them at the kitchen sink at her because they know she's not just now a taxpayer, she's a statistic, which means she's going to be guaranteed to vote for those levies when they come back up for renewal every few years. It's all about money and power.
It's exactly that. So, yeah, South Africa is... our future is bleak. We've known about, you know, our future being bleak, and we were able to cope with it and try. And like you say, we're very innovative. We look at new ways of looking after ourselves and handling each situation that gets thrown into our laps. But existing, I fear, is going to create havoc because of stupidity,
mm-hmm.
if I can put it bluntly.
Mm-hmm.
Blunt stupidity, because they don't think what they are doing to our country. And the fact that they are willing to spread the virus willy-nilly, and they think it's a joke. They think it's funny. My other daughter is an asthma sufferer. She has locked herself in her home. We will go and visit, but she's not going out because she cannot be infected.
Mm-hmm.
She will have a severe, very, very hard time. And, you know, when people don't have medical aid, you've got to go to a government hospital. No.
You're better off just staying at home.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think of the thousands and millions of elderly people and the folks. You know, South Africa currently has around more or less 7 million HIV-positive patients.
Wow.
Okay? Only 3 million of them are receiving ARV drugs. The other 4 million have been tested positive, but are not receiving drugs. Why? Because there aren't any. But yet, the UK and America and other countries are sending aid for many years now in order to fund the AIDS so that the ARV drugs can be given to the people. I can't even take my ladies to the nearest clinic for contraception. There aren't any. When my children go to the clinic because they are ill, like, let's give an example, they've got bronchitis or pneumonia, first stage. They get given a Allergex, which is an allergy medication. They do not give medicine. They do not give antibiotics. They do not give contraception. Why? Because they don't have. They do not give ARV drugs for HIV patients because they don't have.
And not only that, but the ones that are affected are just infecting others because now they don't give a shit. They're like, well, I got it. Why don't you have it? So here, I'm going to spread it to you.
That's exactly it. And so HIV patients who aren't getting the ARV drugs are going to be susceptible even more so with the COVID-19 virus, and they are going to... Everybody says, be positive. Yes, I'll be positive. If people look after themselves and don't spread the virus. But if people don't look after themselves and they are out to spreading it, we are going to see death. It's not when, it's when. It's going to happen.
That's amazing. You know, because it's funny because... last 12 years, I had started to think things a little bit differently. We had a hurricane that came through the Midwest here, and I know that sounds funny because we're so far inland, but a Hurricane Ike had come up from the Gulf, hit Florida, and then hit Alabama, I think, and then kind of curved up around the Mississippi River up into the Ohio Valley. By the time it hit us, most of the rains were gone, but the near hurricane force winds were still fairly strong, and they knocked out a lot of power here in my area for well over a week and a half. And I was working for a gas station chain at the time, and I got to see firsthand just how people act within a while. And of course, one of the things I've learned since is that when most people only keep about a week's worth of food in their homes on average. And so even if they get paid biweekly, they only have about an average of week's worth of food, and a lot of them aren't smart enough to start rationing things. But that being said, you get various survival books. You know, things are usually in stages of three. Like, you can't survive more than 3 minutes without air. You can't survive more than 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food, you know, things of that nature. So you start... putting all this stuff together, and you know, you got to start looking at we become so complacent with our comfortable lives that when the lights go out, most people don't know how to act. So they don't think about having preparations at all. They don't stock up on extra resources. something as simple as making sure you have them proper clothing in case there's a winter storm and the powers go out. Things of that nature. And people don't think about that. So when things like this happen, and here's the thing I've seen with this particular situation. I've been out in the stores. Last weekend, I was out of state, and I had traveled through four different states on the way back. And even on that Sunday, I did not see anything out of the ordinary. There was not a run to the stores. Certain things were missing, of course, but there was not like everyone had a shopping cart in each hand. It wasn't like that. Even the restaurants. I stopped at a Cracker Barrel, which is a southern cooking type of restaurant chain. And on a normal Sunday morning before the church rush, I saw probably about 8-9 families and couples, things of that nature, having breakfast. No one doing any ordinary. By the time we went to leave, the church rush was starting to come in, and nothing out of the ordinary. And again, I stopped. There was no restaurant restrictions yet. Even though I stopped at a Dairy Queen, I could have went inside to get what I wanted, but I was on the phone with somebody, so I didn't want to interrupt the conversation. So I sat in the drive-thru. It took them 15 minutes per vehicle to get them waited on. I was like, are you kidding me? So this is just the beginning of the taste to come. So otherwise, I didn't see anything ordinary. And then we had some more instances here in Ohio where they were talking about they were shutting down non-essential businesses and this, that, and the other. And I'm sitting there going, man, some things just don't add up. And they haven't had any major restrictions yet, but I still see people out in stores. Some people just do it because they're defiant. Some people just don't care. Some people just don't buy it. And but eventually they're going to have a lockdown like they're doing in California and New York. And it's going to be interesting to see how people react to that.
Yeah. One thing that's very scary for us is the last 2 weeks or so, you know, us having to travel, you know, to the camps and giving out food and taking children to school and doctors and clinics and whatnot. We've stumbled upon two fuel stations who had no fuel in different areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, sorry, the truck didn't come. And we are reliant on fuel a lot because we have to pump water with a generator. We luckily have a borehole. But I am having now to try and get cabling so that we can get a 200-meter cable set up so that we can have that in place in case we do not have fuel. So the solar power can generate or pump water, you know, from our borehole up to the tank. Because if South Africa or the local fuel stations run out of fuel, we are pretty much stuck without water and then we are doomed. So I am desperately, desperately trying to get hold of funding so that I can get the cable and install the cabling so that the inverter and the solar panel can run the water so that we don't have water shortages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we might be struggling with food a little bit, but if we're without water, we can't plant. If we're without water, we can't eat, drink, flush the toilet, you know, bathe. We need the water. So I'm in desperate, desperate need of this cable so that I can be assured that no matter what happens, we will have water, at least.
Yeah,
it's scary to know that already we have fuel stations running dry and the trucks are not coming. They are burning up the trucks on the highway in any case. It is scary how many truckers are being burnt alive in their trucks and then the trucks looted.
Wow.
For the market of it. So I will send you a few links. It's been happening the last few months. More truckers are dying on our roads and they are looting the trucks like crazy. So that's scary. And if the truckers don't come with the fuel, we live in a farm area. We are done for. You know, I desperately, desperately need cabling so that I can make sure that we have the water situation sorted. And it costs, you know, it's more costly to run the generator on fuel than onto solar power. So I'm trying desperately to make sure that we have, measures in place for a complete total shutdown.
Yeah, well, actually, someone sent me a video the other day about some of the truckers going on here. He was lamenting about how, people on Facebook going, oh, thank you, truckers, for doing this, that, and the other. He's like, when any other time did you ever care? You don't even give two shits about us any other time. We're in your way on the highway. You know, it's like, look at this. He's going around. He's like, I'm at a warehouse here. I'm ready to drop my load. I'm stuck here for at least an hour and a half. If it could be up to 3 hours before I possibly could get unloaded. I have a frozen delivery thing that needs to be taken somewhere by 4. It's already 1 o'clock. And he's like, and not only that, but according to the government, especially in this particular state, you know, according to my logs, if I'm not rolling, I don't get paid. So he's basically stuck there. He can't do anything. He says another problem with these DCs is the fact that they do their 8-hour shifts and they go home. They don't have no sense of urgency. They don't care. And so you've got trucks and trucks and trucks loaded with provisions in them, and they're just left to sit out there for hours on end because of the fact that they can't get unloaded in time. And see, I've got an extensive background in fulfillment, and to me, to sit there and see someone not having a sense of purpose, especially right now, to get off your ass and make sure these trucks are unloaded as quickly as possible, to me, is unfathomable. Matter of fact, if I was a supervisor, I would say, you know what, hit the bricks, buddy, because I'll find someone else to take your job, PDQ, and we'll get these trucks unloaded fast.
Yeah. Well, in South Africa, a trucker cannot think that he's going to wait a long time, because if he has to wait a long time, his truck will be empty by the time he has to upload, and it will not be workers or anybody trying to help him. It will be looters.
Yeah.
So if they get stuck somewhere or they get blocked off on the road and they get burnt and they get killed for their load, and it's horrifying. It's really terrible. And thus we sit with our necessary supplies that we need, because you know our truckers are being attacked, and I'm talking about black, white, it doesn't matter. It goes through the board. They don't care who you are, what race you are. If they've got some, think that you've got some valuable stuff, food items, especially food items, they will loot it and burn it to the ground.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. They just want the items. And, of course, the authorities don't give two shits after the crime has happened. They even try to investigate it, much less to apprehend these criminals.
Yeah, no, but where are you going to find them? Not in South Africa, you're not. Even with video evidence, they never find them because it's masses. You're talking about a few hundred people that storm these trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And loot, and then after that kill the driver and set them alive, the truck alive. So it's really horrible what these truckers are going through. But, you know, at the end of the day, the folks that are out here waiting for supplies to come and it doesn't come, that's another scary part, because if there isn't anything for us, like the fuel, if there is no fuel, we're pretty much stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I'm seeing too, is the fact that I've seen some of the crime videos where various women have been carjacked and raped and even murdered. And there's a couple of cases over there that were pretty obvious. And it took them months and months and months, even with camera footage, to try to find out who these individuals were, and then to try to prove that they're even possibly a suspect, when it's pretty obvious that they are, you know. I know, because they basically look all like those white folks, it seems like, but the bottom line is, you know, I've seen some of these young women who have been attacked and brutally murdered, and it's just like it took a year and a half for it to even come to court, much less even to get charges filed. So, I mean, it was amazing, some of the shit that and then when they finally got them and nailed down the 3 or 4 guys that did it. And I don't, the one particular girl's name escapes me, but they had camera footage from a building showing what happened. And it's like, how could you even find who these people are, as dark as it was? How can you even get a scan on their faces? Even with some of the technology these days, it's almost impossible to find out who these individuals are.
Exactly. You need a very good lighting and very, very good camera system. And who can afford that, you know?
Right.
So in our area, we do have cameras and we do have beams around the property. But yeah, that doesn't help very much if you know 10 of them storm our property. They're going to say, well, prove that that's me on the video. Prove it. Our cases will never get to court. They hardly ever do in any case. Unless there's concrete DNA evidence, which they usually botch in most cases in South Africa.
On purpose.
Backlog is. Yeah, of course. I agree with you 100% there. But the farm murders and the attacks, even if there's DNA evidence, the DNA usually gets contaminated and it gets thrown out of court. So then there goes the evidence.
Yeah. You know, everything that the West supposedly stands for, rule of law, science and technology and all, it's literally selective enforcement when you get these individuals that come into power. I mean, some of the statements I've seen from some of your quote-unquote elect leaders are some of the most asinine comments you've ever heard. I mean, we're talking, these people are supposed to be ruling over you, and they barely even have like a second or third grade education, and much less could even speak the English language worth a shit. I mean, seriously, some of the stuff that comes out of the mouth is so asinine, I just kind of go, where the fuck did they scrape this guy off the bottom of his shoe of? I mean, seriously, it's some of your leaders are just goddamn stupid.
No, and some of our police are illiterate. They are now going to start schooling for our police officers who are illiterate. How on earth did they get through the police course in the first place by being illiterate?
We have the same thing here. As a matter of fact, not too long ago, Dayton police were getting so worried they couldn't get enough recruits. They started lowering the standards of who they would recruit. And then we had an incident that happened here a few years ago in Montgomery County Jail where a white girl was actually strapped to a chair. And she was being questioned about something, and she said something that the black CO female didn't like and maced her ass while she's fully restrained in this chair. And then what really got me is when she filed a complaint on it, the sheriff, of all people, white guy, Phil Plummer, would not allow the video evidence to be seen for months. He had to face an indictment to actually release the damn video to show what the CO had done to this white girl. Now, if the situation was in the other position and it was a black girl that was strapped to that thing and a white CO male would have done this to her, it would have been front page news for months.
Absolutely.
So it really burns my ass because, and again, we've allowed it to get this far. I was at a conference about a year and a half ago. And one of the things that one of the leaders of one of the southern groups had said is like, when our own women can't even walk the streets in broad daylight, and to be attacked and harassed and everything else, they said, we only have ourselves to blame. We've allowed it to get this way. And he's right.
Exactly.
And we have to start stepping up and saying something now and say, look, you know, some people want to call you racist, fine, just let it roll off the button. It's like, yeah, I am, because I'm looking at it for my own damn people, and I'm tired of having my women having to be accosted, bullied, and outright savaged in some cases just because they're beautiful white females. I mean, seriously, where are we going? None of that, but all the advertisement over here is becoming anti-white. I mean, you cannot turn on a TV anymore and see a commercial where it doesn't have a black family look like they're middle class, or a mixed couple, usually with a white female, and it's pretty obvious. And in some cases, they're showing gay couples. They're showing two guys, and I'm like, dude, it's bad enough showing these mixed relationships, but showing gay couples is absolutely a front. Most people are not going to take that.
No. They're doing exactly the same here. Yeah, it's difficult to wrap your head around it because I know what I believe in. And I am told constantly that your belief, you know, you're a supremacist and you're this and you're that and you're that. Just because I love my culture, I love my race, I support my people, but I'm being seen as a racist. through and through.
Well, what you got to do is say, no, I'm a racialist, and look up Leon DeGrelle's definition of what he meant by a racialist when he was, an SS officer, and I think he was actually French, if I remember. But anyway, he was very, very definitive when he described what it means to be a racialist. It's like it's easy to dismiss and call someone racist, but when you say someone's a racialist, it's a lot more of a higher level plane that they can't derive from. I mean, you look into basic Bolshevik tactics that Lenin started, where he'd use racism, chauvinism, and sexism to attack his opponents. And so they're always on the defensive, and then they never get a chance to debate an issue. And then, of course, you have the revolution in 1917 in Russia. I think what Eastern Europe has done and Russia has done to preserve their own people and their way of life is to be commended, not frowned upon. I mean, as much as they attack Putin and try to compare him with this, that, and the other, it really pisses me off, because I think what he's doing is, and he's part Jewish himself. The thing that I'm saying is, he's trying to preserve the Russian people, culture, and their way of life. And they've been struggling ever since the USSR collapsed, because it wasn't working anymore. And so he's got his own problems to deal with. And so I think it was very commendable and a smart move when you had a bunch of South African farmers wanted to get out, and he says, hey, we'll take 15,000 of you because of the fact that we know that you've got the skills to pay bills, and we'll help Russia. And we will help you get started, because I know once those crops start growing, the money's going to start flowing in.
Yeah. And they're doing amazingly. They are so successful. And I pray that, you know, they continue to be successful, and that other countries will open up their doors for South Africans. At the moment, as it stands, I don't think Mr. Trump has any. I think he knows about the situation in South Africa, but to him, America comes first, and I do understand that. But at the same time, I feel that America should stop funding South Africa and this communist government that we do have. It's like giving kids constant candy and they're still naughty. But yeah, you're giving candy and he just carries on being naughty. It's the same thing.
Right. I mean, supposing the countries that he's been cutting funding on, I mean, he's cut off funding from a lot of Central American countries because of some of their politics and stuff and the way that they're doing things. Why shouldn't he do it for South Africa? I mean, are we really getting any benefit from South Africa? I mean, are we getting any major resources or material from that country? I don't think so. If anything, you guys have had a brain drain long before apartheid ended. So people knew what was coming and they got the hell out. And so what people that can get out are getting out. But again, you would think if Trump says, I want a merit-based immigration system, if I've got a successful doctor, if I've got an accountant, if I have anyone that has an obvious skilled trade who, given the opportunity to come to America, would be successful and would be good taxpayers, why would you turn these people down? I don't understand it. I mean, just from the people I've talked to who have gotten out of there, the process of getting out of South Africa alone is an absolute fucking nightmare. And you have anything wrong, you don't dot an I or cross a T, the South African government will throw your shit away. You have to repetition, and it'll cost you 2 to 3 times more. Then if you've reached that hurdle, trying to get in the United States is nearly impossible. It's like you went from bad to worse, it seems like. Should be the other way around.
I have family in the United States. My grandfather was an American. And to this day, I've been struggling 4 years, sir, to get my paperwork from my own government in order to prove that my grandfather was my grandfather. He was born in Neosho in Kansas. And all my forefathers were American. Mm-hmm. And so I have American blood flowing through my veins. I'm only second generation South African. And it's a nightmare. I don't think I will ever, ever get my documents out of the government. Every time I have a little bit of money together and I can fight them, I try and fight them, but every single time, doors are shut in my face, excuses upon excuses about this building burned down in 1994, and now they can't find the records, and it was never, you know, officially, I don't know what you call it, the fish film, where they take photographs of
yes,
all the documents.
Microfish, yes.
Yeah. But it wasn't done, yeah, it wasn't done at that center at that time. So I'm really having a huge battle. Barring from the DNA tests on my aunt, who is got close to 90, who is my grandfather's sister, it's not going to help me much. it's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous.
You would think even if they wanted to keep you there, they want to take advantage of you financially, but they can't do that if they keep stifling you from even being profitable to be taxed. I mean, to me, it's the definition of insanity. How can you steal the golden eggs from the goose if you don't feed the goose?
Yeah, and I have a right to a derivative passport, American derivative passport, when I looked at the laws and what it implicates and what it says, but I am being blocked right, left, and center, and it's frustrating because I know that there are other people sitting in the same situation. I mean, if I have to get my family out, I'm not going to be able to. The nearest country that I would be able to go to is maybe Botswana, and trying to get over the border, because as soon as the football hits the fan in South Africa, all other borders close.
Mm-hmm.
Mozambique, Namibia, and Botswana, and Zimbabwe goes without saying.
Right.
Yeah. Basically, jumping on a ship at a harbour is our only way out. You know. But yeah, and then I think of these thousands and thousands of families who are living in these camps in the worst conditions, and you must know now with this virus thing and the economy down in the dumps, and the recession and winter coming up, I can tell you we are going to sit with huge, huge hunger. We already are, and that frightens. Because last winter, we were sort of more or less coping, and I can tell you this winter we are not.
Mm-hmm.
Because the summer was worse than most other summers, and this winter that is upon us is going to hit us like a brick wall.
What was wrong with the summer? Was it too hot or not enough rain or what?
No, food shortages already.
Mm.
Usually we have food shortages mostly in the winter times. Summer was easier, you know, especially if we could grow and donations came in. Well, with America having problems and Mr. Trump that nearly got impeached, and it affects us tremendously what happens in America. When America struggles, people look after themselves and their own families, and I get that. But they don't realize that what a $20 means to a family. $20 at this moment feeds a family for 2 weeks.
Wow. 20 American dollars?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
That's a family of four. Two parents and two children. 2 weeks, sir.
Wow.
2 weeks. Family of four.
Yeah, because when America sneezes, the world catches cold. I mean, that's the problem
yeah.
we have. Huh. Wow.
I can tell you we are in a huge crisis. We're going into winter with a crisis. And the food-wise, it's going to be dismal. And we're going to try and source as much as we can and feed as many as we can. But I know now already that it's going to be an absolute nightmare getting just the children fed. And we start, we have a point system. So if it's a baby, babies get food first. If it's finished, it's finished after the baby.
Mm-hmm.
If there's enough for babies and toddlers, we give the babies and toddlers. If it's finished, the older children don't get. And that's heartbreaking.
Yes.
When I have to go into a camp and choose who gets and who doesn't, I give to the most vulnerable first. And sometimes when there is enough, the toddlers and the bigger children get.
And see, another problem I see too is, as I see a lot of our European cousins outright shun you. I mean, even if you go back to some of the ancestry of the South Africans, I mean, whether they be British or Dutch or German or whatever,
yeah.
It's like you guys are like the bastard stepchildren or the black sheep of the family they don't talk about. It's like, oh, what about your South African relatives? You never talk about them. It's like, do you ever talk about dandruff? I mean, they really treat you guys like you're subhuman or something.
Yeah, it's like my husband's family is from France and he's from the French Huguenot, who escaped the Christian Protestants, you know, the
mm-hmm.
whole Christian thing there, and he's a Duple. And at the end of the day, they don't see him as being of any French blood, because he's South African and they don't care. Let me tell you, people do not care in other countries, especially not the ones where we are, our forefathers originated from.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want us back. I think most of them see us as traitors, so that's difficult.
Wow. It's just our condemnation of our descendants. I mean, seriously, sins of the father are passed on to every generation. And it's like, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So your organization's website is the South African Family Relief Project at www.safrpsa.org. So I recommend people go to that website. Again, it's safrpsa.org. Now, that being said, how are you able to process payments if people go to your website if they're having issues with PayPal? Is there an alternative? Can they snail mail it to you? But I know that's an issue, too, because they'll like ransack your mail and steal your shit. So, I mean, how do people find alternate ways to get to you if PayPal is not available?
We have a new PayPal account. I don't know how long it will hold, so until they stop us again. So please donate what you can, guys. We really desperately need it. We can access the funds at the moment. So you can just go to the website and go click on donate, and it will take you immediately to the PayPal link, and you'll be able to donate.
Okay. Yeah, because I've had some issues with my PayPal too, because one of the organizations that I deal with, I sent them money for an event last summer, and right after they cashed the money for the event, all of a sudden my PayPal came under lockdown. Basically, they want more information from me, and I'm not willing to give it to them because it's none of their damn business. So it's like, I don't really purchase much with my PayPal. Mostly I buy like music or, I'll buy stuff off Amazon or whatever, but I don't really use my PayPal much for anything, but because they want all my personal information, it's none of their damn business. So that's how I look at it. But I don't trust them. Even if I did give it to them, they'd find some excuse to shut me down. And again, I'm not doing anything wrong, but it's nearly impossible because they run the monopoly on payment processors, because of the fact that that's the main one now. And, of course, it's connected to eBay, which is connected to Google, I do believe. And so, again, you start following the money, you see it's the same hands and the same families that are running all this shit. And they just so happen to be Jewish. No shocker that it just happened to be Jewish. So, again, if you imagine if it was five Italian families running all the media and money in this country, my God, there'd be a cry for antitrust laws. Oh, God, the mob runs the fucking media. You know, it would be outright insane. There would be torches and pitchforks in front of the elected offices. You know, I mean, seriously. So, but, you know, I see what's going on here, so I know whatever you got is amplified tenfold minimum. So, you know, like I said to you last time, my heart bleeds to you because of the fact that some of us want to help you tremendously, but your government makes it impossible to get the provisions and resources you need to be successful.
Yeah.
It's not so much, even if I were to give you money out of my pocket, which, you know, may be tight for me, I know it's going to a good cause, just to make sure it even gets to you properly is a problem.
Yeah, it's an absolute nightmare. Because I know that, you know, people thought that they could send us, like, telegram? Like a telegram?
Yes.
Through the post, and I said, please don't, because if you can't do it into a PayPal account, that is, at the moment, the safest, or either directly into our charity bank account, South African bank account, if you click on the donate, you will find the bank account option plus the international SWIFT code if you rather want to pay it directly into our bank account, which is the safest, and then PayPal. But sending money via anything else, we will never, ever get it. It will be lost forever. Somebody else will have, you know, a party with it because they'll get it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But our organization, and so like many others, won't get it. So, post, no ways. We can't even get donations in from, goods donations in from overseas. It is banned. Like, I have to pay import taxes on anything, even if it's secondhand clothing and it says South African Family Relief Project donation, I have to pay in order to release a bag of clothing. And it's secondhand. So I would rather go and buy maize meal to feed the families than to go and pay taxes on the donated goods.
Yeah, you can't win for losing. Even if they were just to charge you a fee just so they can make money off your stuff, it's like that's still not enough. I mean, it's like they just want to take everything.
Yeah. So we do have some folks that visit us from overseas, like from America and Canada and the UK and even Japan, but yeah, and Australia. So they come in, and when they come and visit us, they come to our farm project and they bring in a bag or two bags of clothing. So, and friends, you know, who travel in and out from South Africa, who has family coming in, they usually bring in like a suitcase or two suitcases of clothing and shoes and warm coats. Or some summer stuff, stationery for the children. So yeah, individuals, yes, but yeah, posting anything from anywhere to South Africa is very, very risky.
Wow, that's amazing. So again, the web address is www.safrpsa.org. So I recommend everyone go to that website, click on it, and I do believe it does show some successes that you've had already on there. And like I remember when I talked to you last time, you mentioned about how you were able to get concrete and be able to have poor flooring underneath the shanties, so that way when the rains come, the mud wouldn't rush up underneath the shanty's walls, that you actually able to make almost like a bowl in there, so that way it would keep the water out.
Yeah, and we've had a fire also, and a huge, massive rainstorm that destroyed our greenhouse. So we had to get poles together, and we built a new greenhouse. And my husband and I are busy growing our own food in there, so that we can try and keep the people fed. So we've got, you know, beautiful vegetables, and we harvest from there. So, but we need to replenish our chickens, so I need to buy more chickens. So if we do run out of food, you know, I have more chickens and eggs, and obviously I need to feed the chickens.
Right.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle.
It is.
For us now, the major thing is the cabling for the water. That we are so desperate about, because if we can't get fuel, we are pretty much stuck without water, and that is going to be absolutely devastating. It would mean that I would have to close down my camp and send everybody away, replace them, find them another place to stay, and that would be heartbreaking for me, because I wouldn't be able to accommodate these folks if I didn't have any water.
Not to mention they would put them in serious harm's way, because someone would take advantage of their plight.
Exactly that. So I am so desperate for the 200 meter cable that I can put it in, so that we've got water. You know, fuel, like I said, is a bit of a problem at the moment, and funding for fuel. You know, and I can rather use the funding to source food than to keep on buying fuel to pump the water. So we need help. We really need the help desperately. And if anybody, people think that $20 is not enough, believe me, it is. It will help a heck of a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely we need to do that. Set up where people can set up their own bill pay stuff within most of their accounts now. So even if someone just were to go, hey, $10 each pay period, or even $20 each pay period, automatically goes to your organization. It's automatically deducted, and you don't even miss it. You know, I don't understand why people wouldn't consider doing that, because, you know, the government takes money out of our checks. We never miss it, but and they obviously like it.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you? Not only that, but in some cases, you know, we should look into those that itemize. Are you recognized as a charity that could be tax deductible here? I mean, that's something to look into too, because the fact that some people, they want to donate, but they want to feel like they get something out of it besides the satisfaction of knowing you've got resources and money, but so they can write off on their taxes. But, you know, any good white person here should look past that. But some people, you know, maybe their finances are set up a certain way where they need to have certain things to be registered, and so that way they get less scrutinized on their tax forms. But I think that's just some things that you just need to set up where if you know there's a group, you need to pay them, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so again, go to the South Africa Family Relief Project at safrpsa.org. And I encourage you to go check on that website and click on the donate button. You have the option of either paying with PayPal or a direct deposit into their bank accounts. And I'm sure, obviously, when Lee looks at the looks at where the money came from, I guarantee you, if you have some ability to be contacted, she will probably thank you personally, because of the fact that, you know, for some people it is a sacrifice, but they want to do what's right to help our cousins elsewhere in the world. And so I encourage you people to do that. You know, if you're not a solution, then you're part of the problem. And so you got to start thinking about this. It's good to take care of our things at home, yes. But there are some people abroad. I'm sick of seeing these damn, you know, Christian child things on TV. Oh, for less of a Starbucks coffee, you can help a kid, feed them for X amount of time, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's all fine and good, but those are in, like, Latin countries. How about helping our cousins in South Africa that could really use our help right now? So, I mean, you know, when you sit down and you want to be charitable, really look at the list of people that you want to do it. Do some research. Again, you can go to the website, look through it. If you have any questions, email her. I guarantee you she will respond to you promptly, because she's a good, honest person. She wants you to know that your money isn't going to be squandered. If necessary, some people are real sticklers. Hey, I'm going to give you $1,000 or something like that, but I want an itemized list of what you bought with it, just to show that she has some integrity. And I guarantee you, if that's what you require, she would do that.
Ask some people to give them a tax certificate if they should need one.
Right. So, I mean, there's some people that want to give, but they just have so many stipulations. But, you know, and again, it's to cover their own asses, because maybe they need to show that, you know, you're a legitimate organization and this, that, and the other, because we know when you get new leadership, all of a sudden the funds disappear. So we've seen it over here constantly, and so people need to start questioning things. So it's not that we aren't generous. It's just some people are afraid of being taken advantage of, and I don't see you doing that in any way, shape, or form. So hopefully everybody steps up and at least sends you something monetarily.
Thank you so much, sir.
If not, we can at least hope that Thor might do a lightning strike and take out your ANC government, and you have a chance to start anew. That's the only thing I hope for.
That would be bliss.
And we can start fresh. So that would be cool. So anyway. All right. So we're wrapping the program up. And I want to thank you very much for Lee Oxy-Dupree to come on and to give us an update of what's going on. And the situation is going to steadily get worse because of this current crisis. But we encourage you to go to our website at safrpsa.org. So, Lee, thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. And please, everybody, you can go to our Facebook page also, South African Family Relief Project. Go like the page. You'll see regular updates, weekly updates about our farm project and what we do and how we assist these folks. So please go and check it out. It's really awesome.
Okay, and that's it with our interview with Lee Oxy-Dupree. Again, go to her website and support her in any way, shape, or form. She'd definitely very much appreciate it. Also, make sure you check out our other programs here on the Resolution Radio Network at resolutionrdo.com. And then, of course, one of our radio programs, which is our top radio program you must watch, is Radio Free South Africa. Karen Smith, Shock, and others that are on that program really have some really, really great guests on there. And we've been fortunate enough to have some very, very big names on that program, such as Katie Hopkins, as well as Jeff Rentz. So Karen's done a really excellent job bringing some heavy hitters onto her program, which is, benefits our network as a whole, and also shows us our dedication to getting these issues looked at with obvious good scrutiny. Because if we don't address these issues now, South Africa is the petri dish in which the globalists want to do to all of the West. So you better act up and stand up for your actions now, because it will be too late later. That's for sure. So to go to SonnyThomas.com, ResolutionRDO.com. Again, follow us on Gab at Sonny Thomas Show. You follow me at Real Sonny Thomas and Resolution RDO. Salacha Ma, Skull, and we will catch you next week. Salut.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.